Welcome back to the final hour of Tip Today. 1800 938 007. That's a free phone number if you want to speak to Emma, who's looking after the programme today. You can text and WhatsApp 083 311 3311. Now, we've been speaking about parenting all morning, but for parents having a child who's sitting junior or leaving cert, now that can be a very daunting experience indeed and very difficult to navigate. Well, I'm delighted to be joined in the studio now by Susan O'Donoghue, who is an established relationship mentor and co-creational psychotherapist as well. And good morning to you, Susan, and good to see you, and thanks for coming into us.
Thanks, friend. Lovely to be here. Thanks for inviting me in.
What is a co-creational psychotherapist, by the way?
In co-creational, it means that we're both equal when we sit, because we all are, right?
Yeah.
And I suppose it's client-led, so it's not where I want to go, it's where the client needs to go.
Very good.
And it's all about you are the master, or you are the expert, rather, on your own life. So you know what's best for you. I just signpost it for you, feed it back to you, and do a huge amount of work on myself so that I can do that. Because it's very easy to get into advising and judging. So there's none of that. It's about me accompanying you on your journey to see how can I best support you to get to the place where you need to be, not where I need you to be, you know, because sometimes we can, you know, unconsciously, tap in.
It sounds lovely, though. It sounds real, you know, that it's integrating with the other person.
Of course it is, because we all know what's best for us, Fran. You know, deep down inside, we just need, I suppose, the safety to be able to express it and look for it, bring it to consciousness.
Yeah. I suppose, I mean, one of the most stressful times in a family has to be around exams. Is that your experience, Susan?
I would say 110%.
Yeah.
The kids are stressed, the mums and dads are stressed, the whole house is stressed, everything's up in a heap. So I suppose it's always about taking care of yourself in it, as a parent. And that would be there's loads of practical stuff, you know, I can go through a little bit of that if you want. But like there's loads of practical stuff like getting enough sleep, making sure that they eat right. But there's only so much you can do on that level. And then I think the most powerful way to support your child going through that is to show them a parent who takes care of themselves. So they have an example of how to take care of themselves.
That's very good indeed. Again, I wouldn't have heard that before. So looking after yourself is primary to this.
It's paramount. It's in everything we do, even if they never did an exam. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's what I want for my children is I want them to be capable adults who can take care of themselves. But if they don't see an example of that, how are they ever going to know what it looks like?
And I presume, Susan, if you're showing your kids that you're up to 90 over their exams and you're stressed and not sleeping over their exams, that sort of will have a knock-on effect.
Yeah, and then we got a question, how is it that you're up to 90 over their exams, you know? Is that your own stuff coming up, you know? And how was it for you around exams when you were small, you know? Did you feel pressure? Like, I think the biggest thing for people is the word failure.
Yeah.
And like, to me, it represents learning, because to learn, you have to fail. It's part of it. But for a long time, I suppose I would have seen failure as a very negative thing, as a bad thing, as, oh my God, you know, if I fail, people will talk about me. And there you go again. It's all about what others think of me. It's not about what I feel inside, how I am within myself.
How do you bring that back then to the core of somebody going through an exam? I mean, how would you bring that back?
Okay. Well, I suppose you separate the person from the behaviour, right? I'm not my behaviour. My behaviour is something I do. It's not who I am. And our behaviour comes from, I suppose, our unique experience of our unique world, because we all have unique, we all see the world through a different view, right? You definitely won't see it, even if we grow up in the same household, we're going to see it differently. So I suppose it's about looking at, I don't know what my son or daughter, what they're feeling. I'll never know, right? Only they'll know. So it's about accompanying them through it. But to do that, I have to do a lot of work on myself to get there, because it's very difficult if I'm up to 90, like you say, and I'm going, oh my goodness, are they going to fail? Oh my God, you know, like they won't be the same as everybody else. That comparison is so hurtful and so harmful, you know what I mean? Because if I'm comparing you to myself, do you know, like you'll say, oh, back in the day, I did.
I know.
You know, like, I know we don't mean to do that, but that's our own unconscious fears coming up. Yeah. So now I got to sit with myself, have a look at that and think about, you know what, that's about me and for me, and I need to take care of that for me. Let's not pass it on.
Is there also danger in comparison between kids? Because kids are really different, aren't they?
110%. You know? And there's none of the two of them going to respond the same or act the same. And that's what makes us so beautiful and unique. That's what makes us who we are. So that's about embracing that. And we're not all going to be good at maths, and we're not all going to be good at French or woodwork or whatever, right? But we'll find our niche. But if we keep being told that, oh, you should be as good as Jimmy up the road, or, you know, Mary's doing this, or how is it that he's getting this and you're not? Like, it's so heart destroying, soul destroying, really, isn't it? It doesn't encourage our own unique expression of ourselves and what we can do. Yeah.
But where do you draw the line then? I mean, it's a bit late at this stage to be worried about sort of studying and the like, but I mean, in terms of motivating them to study, I mean, how do you do that without harming them in some way?
Well, I
and
think,
I don't mean physical harm, obviously. I mean mental harm, you know.
Yeah, I think it's that accompaniment, that lovely accompaniment, right, with compassion and kindness and that sense of, I don't know what they're feeling, but if I put myself back to the day when I was in that place, how would it have been for me? And like, we do know that it's different now for them because there's way more pressure on them now. It's kind of gone ridiculous, I think, myself, you know, with the whole, you know, junior, leaving cert especially, because it's like, if I don't get that, where am I going to do? My life's over, kind of thing. But sure, it's nothing to do with that. There's always a way. There's always a way to get to the career you want or the path you want. You, like, if you don't do well and you're leaving, it's okay.
Yes, there's so many other options out there.
And there, like, I even brought my own daughter when she was going to college. We went the year before to a girl to tell us how many courses are out there, because there's so many. It's mind-boggling. You know, you can look through all the courses you want, but it's nearly an expertise in itself to know the courses that are out there. So there is something for everybody, and it's okay because you are not an exam result.
Yes, of course you're not. But if you are, I'm not even sure what word to use. If you're trying to encourage them to study more and be the best they can be, how do you do that without it being, you know, over the top?
Yeah, and how is it then that we're living through our children that we want them to be the best they can be? Don't we know that they're perfect the way they are? Now, I'm not saying that, you know, do no study and you're grand. That doesn't work either, right? Yeah. But there's a happy medium there. And I know that if I start advising them, if I start nagging them, if I start giving out to them, right, that doesn't work.
No.
Right? We know that, right? Yeah. But I think with encouragement and a bit of support around, you know, I see, praise the effort, not the result. That's the key, I think. It's not about the result at the end of it. It's about the effort you put in along the way. And I see how much effort you're putting in.
Yes.
You know, and I really, you know, think that that will benefit you later on. You know, you're doing amazing, right? But like, if we keep knocking them about, and they need a balance, they need to be able to go out and do their stuff. And like, and what I always say, you know, to parents is, right, you're getting upset because they're not sitting down studying, right? But are you nagging them constantly? Because if you do and they go upstairs to study, right, they're probably not studying anyway.
Yes.
Right? So, nobody's gaining there, right? And if they go on, say, their games on a Saturday morning, how do you feel about that? Does that upset you? They need their downtime too. So what's going on for me now that I need them to be studying 24/7? And if I had to go to work from 9 to 5 and come home and do another 4 hour study, how would that be for me?
Yeah. Horrific.
You wouldn't be able to sustain it on a long term period. Like, and they're asked to do that for a year.
Yes. You know? And it sounds to me you're in no doubt that that is not good for them.
It's not
that whole system.
The whole system isn't good. But like, what I always say to my lads is, look, we're here now. That's the system. We need to get through it. So how can I support you in the best way to get through it? And another thing is, Because of what we're going to be going through now from the 7th of, right, next Wednesday, right, the 7th of June, people are going to be on high stress. Calm the house down. Calm yourself down, number one. And if you're calm, you can calm the house. But if you're not calm, forget about it, right? And I think it's about supporting them to eat right, supporting them to get enough sleep, supporting them to go out and exercise. Because realistically, right, if they don't have the bulk of it done now,
it's
okay, and it's okay. And I think to be able to go into an exam and be calm is worth more, you know, than trying to, you know, beat the last couple of hours out of them. Basically, it's not going to work. It's just not going to work.
Well, essentially, it's a memory test, and I find if I'm particularly stressed, I don't remember anything. So the calmer you are, the calmer you are.
And remember, when they're in school now or when they're doing exams, it's going to be friends and everybody's talking about exams. So give them that bit of refuge at home where they don't have to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, where it can be lighter, where it can be about something else. And another thing I find is when we get anxious, what we tend to do is we tend to ask them the whole time, are you all right? It's a bit like Mrs. Dial and Father Ted, will you have a cup of tea? Oh my God. And that doesn't get you anywhere either.
Yeah.
So let them lead the conversation.
It's interesting that you mentioned the household as well. I mean, if one person in the house is doing exams, all the focus is on them and all the everything is on them and shh and be quiet. And I'm sure that's not good either.
It's not good. Draw it back a bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, you can sit down and have a conversation with if you have smallies or if you have whatever, right? Or get them out, get them playing, you know what I mean? Don't make everybody's life miserable for the next, because the Leaving Cert finishes, I think, is the 27th. So it's a long owl haul, you know, to get to that if everybody's on edge. So I think it's about minding yourself is the key in all this. And I think it's the key in life, really, is to mind yourself. Show your kids the example of what it's like to mind yourself. So that they can do it, you know.
Right. And I suppose let them know it's okay.
It's okay. You're not an exam result. You know what I mean? You're way more than this. And your worth is not tied up with what your exam result is, you know.
I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I mean, that notion of what they'll do then afterwards and, you know, whether it's college or apprenticeship or whatever. But many of them have no idea what they want to do.
Yeah, and I don't agree with that either. I don't agree with, like, you have to make your choice before, isn't it? CEO starts in March or something. You have to have it in by then. And it's all this pressure and you're in the middle of trying to do your last year and leave. It's insane. Insane stuff, you know. So I think take a deep breath. If they want to go and pick something, they will, but then the chances are sometimes they'll pick something and it won't be for them.
Yes.
So that's a hard one too. So maybe it's time just to take a breath. You know, I don't have to rush off into college straight away or go run off and do, you know, an apprenticeship. Maybe I need time just to think about what I need to do. Now, that doesn't mean that you sit at home for a year.
There's because there are other options out there for courses and the like.
Take your time. There's so much out there now for them. It's mind-boggling the amount of stuff they can do.
You're right. If they make the wrong choice and they go to a college course and then they have to opt out after a period of time, the sense of failure for them then is damaging.
Yeah, but if we've instilled the failure is bad, that's where that comes in. But if we've instilled that behaviour is good, that it's not, you know, that you learn from it. That's how you get to be successful. You don't just become successful overnight. The man who never failed never did anything. You know, that kind of a sense. So I think it's about encouraging the fact that failure is okay. It's a part of learning.
Yeah.
You know, and if you fail, it's about embracing it and seeing how can I do better the next time.
I know of, well, I'm just thinking offhand here, I can think of at least three or four people that I know that were damaged by the Leaving Cert. You know, that it did harm them.
Yeah.
You know, even bright kids.
Self-confidence and, their self-esteem. And that's another thing, like, they feel like this is the be-all and end-all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That this is the holy grail. If I get this, I'm... But talk to kids who have gone through college then. They'll tell you, I don't know what the big kerfuffle was about this Leaving Cert thing, because no one ever asked me about it again. And I'm not saying it's not important.
I know.
Just saying, like, that the pressure that's on them for the Leaving Cert is really, I think it is, it's not fair, you know. And I was hoping that they'd bring more assessments in during the year. And that would, you know, encourage, I suppose, a bit more work during the year then, before you get to a week before the Leaving and panic. Do you know that kind of sense of, you know, you do it as you go.
I remember one guy telling me on air, he was a medical doctor, and I was saying to him about the stress of the exams over the years of 7 years or so, and he said, don't mind those exams. He says, the worst ever was the Leaving Cert.
That's what I'm saying. You know? And you talk to people, and I actually have clients who will tell me, and they'd be older clients who tell me that they still have,
nightmares,
dreams. Yeah, about their Leaving Cert, you know. You know, it's there's so much stuff put on around it that it's like, if I don't get this, and can you imagine that poor 17, 16, 17, 18-year-old who's thinking, oh my God, you know, my whole worth is connected to this. And it's not.
Yes, I know.
It's nothing to do with your worth. You're always worthy. You're born worthy, yeah? You're deserving of love and attention and patience and kindness. So it has nothing to do with it. But because we live in a society that kind of says that, that's what they grow up believing.
Of course it does. So if we break it down then just to its most simple, I mean, we have a week to go or so. At this stage, Susan, what would you say, particularly parents listening to us today, what would you say?
I would say don't make stress the enemy. I would say, you know, let them know that stress is part of it, that this is something that's going to happen. I know that they're going to be heightened, right? And they are going to be heightened. And support them around failure, that it's okay. No matter what they get, you're going to love them. Let them know you want them to do their best, right? You don't want them necessarily to be the best in the class. Then it's about an individual and challenging yourself, not challenging against anyone else. So it's not about competing with others, because they get caught up in that too, you know. And I suppose trying to get a sense of a calm household, but that comes from the parent, right? If I'm calm, everything else is going to hopefully roll on smoothly. And if it doesn't, do you know what? We're okay. We'll manage it when it comes. You know what I mean? Everything is fixable in that sense that it's... And I suppose don't compare your own experience. That's huge, isn't it? Not to be saying, oh, and Jimmy down the road, and when I was your age, like that. To them, that's like, please. You know what I mean? Can it be about me for 5 minutes? I suppose finding the right opportunity to chat to would be key, you know, and that's like the Mrs. Dial thing with the tea, you know.
Yeah.
Ask them once and say, if you need me, I'm here, you know, for whatever. And I suppose bring them up a little cup of tea every hour just to break it up, and not to encourage them then to take breaks, and, you know, not to be stuck in the one, you know, room all day for 4 hours. Come on, look, would you like to do something else? Would you like to go on, you know, for a drive or for a walk with the dog or whatever it is, whatever you do that gets them out. And I think a lot of time for me, it's in the care, because there's no eye contact and they don't feel like they're under pressure then, you know. That's a nice place.
Shoulder to shoulder thing, which is easier.
Yeah, because sometimes when you're looking at them, it gets too intense for them. They're not able for it, you know. So I think that just that lovely drive in the care somewhere, wherever it is, and I suppose allow for the rest and relaxation, you know, and look at the balance. Are they spending more time now actually doing exams and studying than they are relaxing? And if they are, that's not a great balance, you know.
Yeah, it's very good, advice. Yeah. Can I drag you into the conversation that we didn't give you any notice of this, but can I drag you into the conversation going on all morning about parenting in general and the difficulties around wanting a baby and not able to have a baby and all of that? Is that something you come across, Susan?
Yeah, it is, you know, and it's so tough on people, you know what I mean? Because one person might be saying, you know what I mean, oh, I have 4 kids and my head is wrecked from them, right? Whereas another person can't have them.
Yes.
So it's two extremes, do you know what I mean? And I think it's so difficult, because in my own family, I would have had, you know, there would have been issues like that. And I think, like, the stress levels and the whole, that urge as a woman, because I heard a bit of that coming in the room that you were talking to a lady, and it is an urge as a woman to have a baby, because I would hand up, say, I was in my 30s before it even hit me, but then I was like, oh my God.
Is it that powerful, Susan? Because I was trying to get...
I think it is, Fran. I think for me it was. I don't know for any... I can only speak for myself.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But for me it kind of was, because I would have been more into my career before that.
Yes.
And then it hit me like a ton of bricks. It was like, oh my God. And I think it's like the biological clock is ticking.
Yes,
for me,
of course,
that's what it was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I really believe that men have no real understanding of that.
Probably not.
Even husbands.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's women out there who wouldn't have a real understanding of it. Maybe there's some women who just never had that feeling, you know. But that was my sense of it, you know what I mean? But I do understand. And you have your own feelings that are so important as well, you know, as men. So I think it's about being conscious that we're all different.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, and I think it's about being conscious that we're all unique and we all bring our own loveliness and our own, you know, uniqueness to this world.
I think for men, the huge moment there is when the baby was born. I mean, I remember when I saw my daughter for the first time, it was like, again, it hit me like a bus.
Yeah.
You know, this feeling that you never experienced in your life before.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's for men. But the other, as you say, is probably related to biological clock in some way. You know?
I felt a bit of pressure.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like, well, your time's running out, even though it wouldn't have crossed my mind before 30.
That, yeah.
You know what I mean? But I kind of felt a sense of that. And I suppose I would have, like, when they give you your baby, I think for everybody, it's you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and for some, maybe it's not. Maybe it's like, I remember feeling kind of overwhelmed with the sense of, oh my God, now I have to take care of this small person.
Responsibility.
Yeah, it was huge. Yeah, huge. So I suppose... there could be a sense of that for me, but like, everybody's going to be different, aren't they?
Of course. Yeah. I was taken particularly with Joan this morning, because after 40 years it's still raw for her, you know.
It never goes away. You know, because what I said before around, like, we see the world through our unique experiences, and that was a unique experience for Joan, you know. So that's how she's going to see the world, is through that, and that's okay, because that's what your experience was like. But it's about uncovering it now and taking care of yourself in it.
Yeah.
That's the key, you know.
Which is so important indeed. If people want to make contact with you, Susan, for relationship mentoring or, as you describe it, co-creational psychotherapy as well.
Yeah.
How can they do that?
They can contact me on 086-3676-256 or info@emotionalwellbeing.ie.
All right, yeah. And Emma will have all of those details if you didn't quite catch that as well. Real pleasure, Susan. Thanks very much indeed. 11:24 right now, back in a moment.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.